Governor Walker says he will announce a significant tax cut that would help send a recently announced revenue surplus back to taxpayers. And other state legislators have other ideas of what to do with this surplus money. But the head of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance says, slow down. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, January 20th. In the last half of our state capitol report, state government reporter Sean Johnson told us about the projected surplus of $977 million by mid-2015 and how state legislators are responding to that news. Governor Walker is also going to address that surplus in his State of the State address on Wednesday night. And we welcome your questions about that surplus and what should happen to it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, a nonprofit organization that aims to promote better government and a more informed citizenry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. So we discussed it in the last half hour, but for listeners just joining us, where did this revenue surplus come from?
Yeah, well, that's what's so funny about this, because if you look at the underlying economic forecast that goes with these numbers, it's hardly changing at all. So it isn't because of some sudden change in the economy. It's simply because we cannot estimate revenues or forecast the economy very well when it's turning one way or the other. So if you look back over the state's tax forecasts over the last 10 or 15 years, you'll see they always overestimate when the economy suddenly slows and drops, and they always underestimate when the economy is in a recovery phase and maybe accelerating slightly. And basically, we underestimated revenues.
And it means that more of us are paying an income tax or paying sales taxes, and that's adding up in the coffers.
Yeah, a little bit more here and there. But when fewer people are out of work and perhaps people are working overtime, there's going to be a little more shopping, a little more income. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty penny, nearly $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah. Let me give you an interesting spin on that number, though. We began this biennium last summer with a $759 million surplus. And we're going to end it, as Sean mentioned, with a $977 million surplus. So in that sense, you know, it's not like those two numbers are that different.
Yeah.
So what had we been doing in this state budget? Well, what we did was we essentially were bringing in less revenue than we were spending. And as a result, we were spending down the surplus from $759 million to about $100 million. So what this does is it refills that, essentially funds the things we were going to spend, and then adds a couple hundred million. So you can look at this in a lot of different ways.
Well, does this mean that the state is taking too much out of my paycheck to begin with?
Well, that's a slightly different question, because the way the state gets its income taxes is unlike a property tax. We don't write a check once a year. We either send in quarterly payments or we get monthly or biweekly amounts taken out of our paychecks. And the state of Wisconsin has been over withholding on income taxes for well over a decade. And that percentage is about 20%, give or take. So, yeah, the state could lower the amount it's taking. The reason they were taking so much more than they needed, to be honest, is the state had so many budget crises, one after another, that they had real trouble paying their bills. They had cash flow problems. And so to take a little extra money from us as an interest-free loan, in a sense, and then give it back to us a year later as a tax refund, help the state manage its cash. But, you know, if the economy is on a sort of on a modest, steady recovery pattern, the state doesn't need to withhold as much as it was. They could, and this doesn't take legislative action. This, the Department of Revenue can change the withholding tables tomorrow, and or they could have done it a long time ago. And that would not in any way change the underlying fiscal health of the state. It simply would leave money in the hands of people rather than take it from them and give them back
and,
the money later.
Well, I know that the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance isn't an advocacy group, so to speak. You would like to see the state adjust those withholding state tables.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. The other advantage of it is that, and this gets into real technical kind of accounting stuff, but it really improves what is called the state's gap deficit, or the deficit that's on its financial statements. And that is about $1.7 billion as of last summer. We've pulled that down from $3 billion, but we could certainly pull it down some more. And one of the ways you do that is you have some more money in savings. Another way is to adjust down your withholding.
You also suggest that the state could use this revenue to buy back what you call accounting tricks from the past two decades of budget balancing. What do you mean by those tricks?
Well, what the state essentially did when it was having all these budget problems is there were some things that they could do. They could say to local governments, we're going to give you money during your calendar year budget. But they also knew that by just changing the payment date by a day or two, they could move that expenditure out of their current budget. And so, in effect, they could look like they were spending less when all they were doing is changing the timing. That also increases the deficits on our financial statements that that CPAs prepare. So another thing we could do to improve those financial statements would simply be to undo those past tricks. That, too, would make our financial statements look better. And one of the benefits of that is that agencies that rate government bonds look at those, and they have been watching Wisconsin for over a decade and said, you know, Wisconsin doesn't really have its fiscal act together. So we dropped their bond ratings in the early part of the 2000s, and they never increased them. So there's another thing. So what I'm suggesting is take a deep breath, maybe clean up some of your past messes, and put the state in better shape going forward.
And the past messes have created what is termed the structural deficit?
Well,
is
no,
that the structural deficit?
The structural deficit is something totally different, and I don't want to put half your listeners to sleep. With this amount of money in the budget, the structural deficit essentially got wiped out. It's really not a deficit. It has to do with an imbalance of money, depending on how much revenue you're going to get in the next budget. But we'll put that over there.
You're not advocating use this money to take care of the structural deficit.
Well, the structural deficit, in effect, has been taken care of just because we're going to have more revenue.
Okay. All right. Well, so the governor, we don't know exactly what he's going to propose during his State of the State address on Wednesday night, but he's been hinting that he wants to provide a significant income tax cut and some sort of significant property tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that this money could be returned to the taxpayers way. What is that a good idea?
Well, the way that they've been doing property tax cuts is we have pretty much frozen local government, school, technical college budgets. So if the state gives more money to those entities, it in effect passes through right to the taxpayer. So it lowers their property taxes. But to do that, they have to increase the amount of spending for, say, school aids. And that means the spending will be higher going into the next budget. So that has a downside. It certainly makes a nice headline, but it does put a little more financial pressure on you come mid-2015. Income tax cuts, we're in the middle of a $650 million two-year income tax cut. So, you know, they've done some pretty serious movement there. If by income tax the governor means changing the state's withholding tables, again, that's not a tax cut per se. It's just a decision to let people keep money the state's going to give them back through tax refunds anyway. And that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, back to the property tax. What's your analysis of at least this idea that perhaps more state money goes to technical mm-hmm. colleges directly rather than, I guess, the technical college is getting more of that money from the property tax?
Yeah. That is a good long-term discussion to have. What should we use the property tax for? What shouldn't we use the property tax for? What do we want the state income and sales taxes to look like? Those are sort of big tax reform discussions that should happen, but would be more appropriate in the next budget discussion starting a year from now. There's a truism about state tax reform, and that is, if you don't have any money, you're not going to have any tax reform, because they need money to make sure that nobody is a loser as they rearrange things in the state budget. So if the governor and legislators were serious about major income tax reform or property tax reform, including tech colleges, they might want to just keep a reserve of money that would lay the basis for some major tax reform.
We are talking with Todd Barry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, about the projected state budget surplus. We learned last week that the state by 2015 could have an extra $977 million on hand, and there's lots of talk as to what to do with that money. What do you think ought to happen to that surplus? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Todd Barry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, talking about the tax cuts that Governor Walker is promising to propose in his State of the State address, which will be this Wednesday, by the way. We will carry it live at 7 o'clock Wednesday night here on the Ideas Network and talk about it more on Thursday morning. We're talking with Todd Barry about what should happen to this $977 million budget surplus. And Todd Barry, we talked a little bit about what you think could be done with this money. What about, we're hearing some lawmakers say, let's send it back to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Why not just mm-hmm. send it all back to taxpayers?
Well, and that is usually the discussion at this time. But let's review how this works historically. The state economy is growing. Suddenly it slows. The state has overestimated tax revenues. And all of a sudden we have a huge deficit. See 2007-8-9. Or for that matter, the early 80s. When that happens, legislators and governors are always slow to act. And sure enough, in 2009, we had about $1 billion tax increase. Then we come out of the recession. We have a recovery. We underestimate revenues. And then we rush to do something about them, forgetting that there's a cycle to this. And just as we are overestimating revenues now, in a couple of years we're going to underestimate them. And that's why I suggest a little bit of caution, and why putting some money on the side to avoid those kinds of surprises is a good thing.
Is that the rainy day fund or something else?
Well, there are two places the state can stash money. The long-term one, called the Budget Stabilization Fund or the Rainy Day Fund, is something that the state never used for 20 or 30 years and has been putting modest amounts of money in recent years, and that's good. The other is a short-term sort of emergency contingency, which says, well, the legislature decides how much to put aside. If it were following state law that it has not followed for 10 to 15 years, it would be putting aside 2% of state spending in sort of an emergency fund. That would be about $300 million or so. At the moment, they have decided to put $65 million in there. So if they wanted to finally follow state law about this statutory reserve, as Sean called it earlier, they could actually use a couple hundred million to put it in the statutory reserve. Again, you know, legislators come and go, governors come and go, and they seem to forget history. And if you do something sudden now, you're going to have cuts later and tax increases later that neither side of the aisle is particularly going to like.
Here's an email from Nichelle. I recall that Governor Walker's first budget included several income tax increases on the lowest income tax bracket, I believe with adjustments to the earned income credit, the homestead tax credit, and some other adjustments. These people should have their tax increases reversed since they earn the least of all taxpayers and were asked to pay more during the last budget cycle. Unjustly, in my opinion. So, yeah, didn't the last budget take away some of those, the homestead tax credit or the earned income tax credit?
Well, if I recall, the homestead credit had been adjusted for inflation, and they stopped that. The earned income tax credit was adjusted down a little bit for families with a fair number of children. And the debate about whether that's a tax hike or not centers on the fact that these folks at the lower end don't pay state income taxes. So it's just a question of how much of a tax credit you're going to give them. And that could very well be a good idea. Again, I would just counsel some caution. You should think about whether it's income tax credits or income tax rate adjustments or a change in the vocational technical college property tax. You might all want to think of those together at one time rather than pick and choose and do things fairly incrementally. Again, because if you're going to do major tax reform, you've got to have some money to lay the groundwork.
Paul writes on Facebook, the money should be used for paying our debts and obligations, not as a campaign aid tax cut. I think he's... just generally, do we have debts and obligations should use that for rather than another income tax cut?
Although in the budget we don't have a deficit, again, on our financial statements, as CPAs look at the state's general fund, we do have a deficit. And that's why I had been suggesting changing income tax withholding, saving more money, undoing some accounting tricks, all the kinds of things that would pull down the deficits on those financial statements. The other thing, of course, is the current state budget increases state borrowing by about $2 billion, and including about a billion for transportation, which, by the way, that part of the state finances is very unstable. We don't have enough money to pay for what we want to do in transportation. So we've either got to scale that back, or we've got to increase probably the gas tax. So there again, by not coming to grips with that long term, we have been borrowing more for transportation.
Well, we're almost out of time. I mean, they are separate funds, but could that money be put right into the transportation fund?
Well, it could. And in fact, in this current budget, because we don't have a workable way to finance transit and highways in Wisconsin, we're taking $400 to $500 million out of the general fund, which means not for schools, not for the university, not for health care, and we're moving it to the transportation fund. So we're already subsidizing the transportation fund to a significant degree.
All right, we have just a minute to go. You gave some of your expert advice. What do you think is going to happen, Todd Berry, with this?
Well, unfortunately, the past predicts the future, and governors and legislators of both parties historically have been unable to think long term, and therefore, you know, prepare the state's fiscal house either for major school finance reform or tax reform, and they tend to do things quickly, and what comes a couple years later is spending cuts and a tax increase.
Yeah, well, we will, I guess we'll find out a little bit more as to what Governor Walker proposes we do coming up on Wednesday night. Thanks very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, a nonprofit organization that aims to promote better government and a more informed citizenry. And thanks as well to Sean Johnson, our state capitol reporter, for being with us in our first half hour. Thanks to Christy Taylor and Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Many of the tree, fern, and flower species that fed dinosaurs millions of years ago are still alive today. See these prehistoric plant species up close at Olbrich Botanical Gardens exhibit, Plants of the Dinosaur Age, on display now through March 2nd. Wisconsin Public Radio is proud to